Chapter 9, 1 Samuel chapter 9, and then when you get there, put a piece of paper or a marker of some sort in 1 Samuel chapter 9, and I want you to flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16. As we've been going through 1 Samuel, of course, we started in chapter 1 and verse 1. We've now made it all the way to chapter 9. And in chapter 9, we're going to be introduced to the king, the new king of Israel. His name is Saul. And he has been chosen by God. Now, you probably have read through 1 Samuel. If you haven't, I encourage you to do that as I'm preaching through it. And you'll understand that after chapter 9, it takes the rest of the book of 1 Samuel. All the rest of the chapters deal with Saul and his disappointing lack of obedience, is the right word to use, and ultimately his persecution of David. And then in the very end of 1 Samuel, Saul and his sons die in battle. And you look at the reign of King Saul. It's not a good reign. And you have to ask yourself, well, did God deliberately give Israel a bad king? After all, they were disobedient, they were rebellious in asking God for a king. Maybe it's just as simple as God giving them a bad king to teach them a lesson. I don't think that's the case. I think what you're going to see today in this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we'll look at verses 1 through 17 in just a minute after I've read to you out of chapter 16, but when you look at Saul, Saul was the best option available. He had a strong father. He had a good appearance. He was tall. He was impressive. And he was even an honest young man. You'll see that here in just a minute. He was in many ways excellent and seemingly fitting for that role of king, and yet he failed. They say, well, Pastor, maybe God just picked a man that he knew was going to fail. I don't think that's the case. I think God gave Israel what they asked for. He gave them a man to be their king. And folks, men fail. Now, one day, Israel's king for all eternity will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is all man, but he's also all God. He will not fail. That's the end of the process. But so often in the Bible, we see this lesson taught to us, this reminder that when you and I depend upon men to get the job done or to be the answer to the problem, if we leave God out of the equation, in fact, if we do not make God the center of the solution, then we're going to fail. The thing happens in churches, the thing happens in families, the same happens in countries. If you leave God out of the picture, or don't put him where he belongs in the picture, failure is sure. And that's the reason we see the rest of 1 Samuel being so dismal. But here, in a moment, as we look at Saul, you're going to see he was the best they could have had. Now, Israel saw the outside. They saw how tall he was. They saw how impressive his family was. They saw that he was, at least in the beginning, very dependable. But I want to show you what God looks at as we begin. And I just want you to read one verse with me, or look along with me as I read in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the story, and we'll get here eventually in the passage, probably in a couple of months we'll be down to chapter 16. But in verse 7 we have God instructing Saul on how to pick the second king of Israel, who was King David. And in verse 7, God says unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, talking about one of David's brothers. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. That would be a great phrase to underline. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And you know that Israel's second king, David, was a good king. He also had failures in his life, but his reign was a reign where they had victory in battle. He was a man of war, and he defeated Israel's enemies. And then he ushered in his son Solomon, who reigned in peace and built the temple. The second and third kings had rather successful reigns, not so much so in the first one. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word back in 1 Samuel chapter 7. I just want to read a few verses here, beginning in chapter 7 and verse 1, and we'll have a word of prayer. I'm sorry, chapter 9. I keep saying chapter 7, chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses. And as he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through, the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and they were not there. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. When they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Let's just stop right there and have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you that you have provided this place, you have provided this assembly of people, you have provided the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And Lord Jesus, you promised us that when two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are there in the midst, and we thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you that we could sing the hymns of the faith, and especially hear a special which reminds us that one day we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, today we long to see you work in our midst. We desire to see the Holy Spirit convicting through the Word of God and changing our lives and moving us, changing us, making us more like the Lord Jesus and making us what you want us to be. And Father, I ask you today to give wisdom as we look in these passages here in 1 Samuel chapter 9 especially, and pray that you'd give us a time in the Word of God that's undisturbed, that's undistracted, and that your will would be done in our lives now. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Brother, I got one. The allergies are kicking up. Again, if you look at Saul and you see what we are going to take note of here in 1 Samuel chapter 9, this was a man that would look like one that was going to be a great king. He's described in these passages in verse 1, his father was a mighty man of power. In verse 2, it says he was choice. That means one to be chosen or desired. In verse 2, it describes his stature and how he was taller than everyone else. And he stood out in a crowd. It's said, for example, there are some people that are just naturally born leaders. You might remember the story of Robert E. Lee in the Civil War, that he went to West Point, and not one time in 4 years did Robert E. Lee get a demerit at West Point, one of the very few that ever did that. He graduated from West Point and excelled in the military, and when he became a general, it was said that the troops could see him coming from a great distance, and they would realize, because of his stature and the way he rode a horse, he was a great horseman, and because of his just the appearance on his face, you could tell, here is a man of authority. Here's a man that can lead us to victory. And Robert E. Lee, of course, was the South's best chance in the Civil War. all that he did as a general, he succeeded in ways that most men would have failed. And you'd look at him and say, there's a natural-born leader. Saul was that kind of man. In appearance, he looked like there was nothing lacking. But as I've reminded you already, we must remember that the best of men, the very most capable, the very most talented, the very most energetic, and the very most resourceful men will fail if God is not doing the work. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In our church, folks, if God doesn't work, we're wasting our time. In our life, in our family, in our homes, in our finances, and as I mentioned before, in our nation. We need the Lord, amen? And we depend upon the Lord. And I hope you never get the idea that because of what we do as men, because of our plans or because of our resources or because of our efforts that we're going to succeed. We do not succeed because of who we are. You will not succeed. I will not succeed. God is the one that must provide the success. And Saul is a lesson of that. Let me just show you a few things about this man. We've seen a couple already. He starts, the Bible starts with a description of him. And then in verse 3, there's this story about these animals that Saul is sent to look for. His father's animals, they've been lost. And so he goes off to look for them, and he goes farther and farther and farther away from home. And what he doesn't realize is as he gets farther and farther and farther from home, he's getting closer and closer and closer to Samuel. And there's no coincidence there. God had told Samuel the day before, the passage tells us later, God told Samuel the day before, he said, now, tomorrow I'm going to send a man to you who is of the tribe of Benjamin, and he is the man that I have chosen to be the king of Israel. I like it when God works that way. God said, Samuel, you stay home. I'll make him make the journey. You sit tight and just relax. I'll bring the solution to you. God can do that sometimes, amen? I like when God does that. He doesn't always work that way. Sometimes he brings lost folks to us, but folks, he also sends us to the lost, amen? And if you're waiting for, you know, in your chair for God to do all the work, sometimes God works that way, but he also wants us to get up and go, and the Bible tells us that very clearly. But Samuel, on this day, was told, sit tight, I'll bring him to you. And sure enough, as Saul, looking for these animals, is unsuccessful, someone says, hey, I've got an idea. There's a man of God here. Let's find out what he has to say. And that's how far we read there, down to verse 6. You look at the character of Saul. First of all, his father trusted him with the task. That says something about him. He sent him off to find these animals. He was diligent. He didn't give up after the first day. He kept on looking. Young people should remember that diligence is scriptural, that we should keep on trying. In fact, the Bible says, God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I might ask us that question, how diligent are we in seeking God to deal with the problems in our life? But this young man was diligent. He was considerate of his father's feelings. In verse 5, he gets to thinking. He says, you know, we've gone a long way. We've been gone a long time. I'm afraid our father's going to be worried about me. I need to go back, perhaps, and let him know that I'm all right. So he's a considerate man. He cares about the feelings of others, and we should be that way also. But in verse 7 through 10, we see this encounter. And let me read you those verses, if I could. Then said Saul to his servant, but if we go, we shall bring the man. What shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? Now he knows he's going to go to this man of God and ask for assistance, and he feels obligated, and apparently by custom as well as just being considerate, he wants to take something to him. And so the servant comes up with the idea that they've got a little bit of money left in verse 8. Let's give him that. And we drop down to verse 10. And so then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. Now, up until now, everything you see about Saul is very encouraging. He seems to have a good spirit. He certainly has a good appearance. And this is the kind of man that you would want in leadership. And this is the kind of man God chose for Israel. And now we come along and see this appointment with the man of God. Look at verse 11. As they went up to the hill, up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, "Is the seer here?" Now that has been explained to us that that is the word for the prophet back in verse 9. And they answered them and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come in to the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him." And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. A couple of more verses, be patient here. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people." Now, no question about it. You can see God's heart in the matter. He's chosen a man that's capable. He's chosen a man that is able to deliver these people out of the hand of the Philistines. And you'll see in some subsequent passages that we're going to study that that's what's going to happen. Saul is going to gather together an army and go out. He's going to defeat the enemies of Israel. And because of God's love for his people, he gave them that kind of a king. The idea of a king leading his people into victory is not anything that's new. That was the way many of the kings in history became what they were. And that idea carries forward. The Lord Jesus Christ is, we want him to be our king. He will one day be the king of Israel, and he will lead them to eternal victory. We sang victory in Jesus today. We know what that's all about. Victory is something we seek. If you and I were to look at Saul, we really wouldn't ever think he would do the wicked things that he's going to do. But I remember that passage we started with this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You and I have a tendency and an ability to look at the outward appearance. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16 that God looks on the heart. I just want to ask you a question. Considering all that we've seen about Saul and how he looked as good as he did, and it seemed like he would have been the man for the job, and ultimately we know that he fails, but it seemed like he would have been the man for the job. When God looks at us, what does God see? And remember, God looks on the heart. I was thinking about that in preparation for this message. As a local church, as you consider our church, folks, our church is a group of folks that God has drawn together. He's called us out. It's his church, amen? And he put us here. And this group of folks, most of us are here today, this group of folks that are assembled here, we are named Vision Baptist Church, and we cumulatively have some kind of a heart. What kind of heart does God see when he looks at Vision Baptist Church? What should he see? Now again, that heart is made up of all of us, and there are some folks that are strong in some ways and weak in others, and I understand that. But what kind of heart should we have as a local church? Let me go back and apply some things I see about Saul's heart. And just for a couple of moments here, let's see if we can't draw some conclusions. First of all, go back in chapter 9 to verse 3. And I will just read, I won't read the verse again, but I'll remind you of what's happening. There was something that needed to be accomplished. These animals needed to be found. And Saul's father was able to trust him with a task. Now, I won't ask, don't answer out loud, but you think for me if you would, what is the task that God has given Vision Baptist Church? We call it the Great Commission, don't we? Some call it the Great Commandment. God gave us a task. I just need to ask you and I the question, as God examines our heart and looks at us, Vision Baptist Church, can God trust us to fulfill the task? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God gave that task to us. You know where the world starts? Right outside these doors. Do we, as a church, as a cumulative body of people, that as we call ourselves Vision Baptist Church, and as God examines us and looks at our heart, can He trust us to fulfill that task? You've heard me say this quite often, but I'll say it again. If every member in my church was just like me, what kind of a church would my church be? The first time I heard a man say those words was in a little independent Baptist church in Carlsbad, New Mexico in the 1960s. And I remember the man that preached, used those words in his message, and his name was Bob Ward. He's with the Lord right now, as I recall. But he was the pastor of that little church there that I went to. And that stuck with me for some reason as a child. I remembered those words for years and years. It's so applicable. Folks, our church is what we make it. Can God trust Vision Baptist Church to get the gospel to the world? It's really quiet. Think about that. You know, if two or three of us go, then we can get the gospel to some of the world, can't we? We went out last Tuesday night, and we had a few folks out for visitation and went over to the apartments over here. Brother Hickson and I went out to the apartments last Tuesday morning, talked to some folks. They showed some interest. They're not here today, but perhaps they'll come another time or we can reach them again. But when you have two or three people knocking doors, you can knock a few doors. When you have two or three people handing out tracts, you can hand out a few tracts. But folks, God gave that task to this church, didn't He? Amen? We need to be busy as a church. Say, Pastor, I just can't make it out to visitation every Tuesday night. I'm awfully busy. I understand that, but how long has it been since you've come out? Say, well, and some of you have. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to show you the truth here. God gave us a task. Can He trust Vision Baptist Church with that task? He will only see that task accomplished if He works through all of us to get the gospel out. It includes local evangelism. It includes foreign missions. It includes reaching the people that we know, families and friends and co-workers. Can God trust Vision Baptist Church with a task? Here's another thing here. In verse 4 that I mentioned about Saul, look at verse 4. I'm not going to read all of it again, but he passed through. He went one place, and he went another place, and then he passed through the land of Shalem, and they weren't there, and then he passed through the land of Benjamin, and he keeps going on and going on and going on, but they found them not. In verse 4, what you see is an effort followed by disappointment, followed by effort, followed by disappointment, followed by effort, followed by disappointment. But you know what? He didn't quit, did he? Can God trust Vision Baptist Church to be diligent, to keep on going? You say, Pastor, I tried one time to win people to Christ and nobody got saved. I don't see the point in it. You know what the point in it is? The point in it is God said go. Amen? The point in it is God gave us that task. And think about it this way. When you go out and when you serve God, the question is not, do you get results? The question is, does God give the result? And He promised He will after many days, after a season. There is a season, and you'll reap then if you faint not. But in the meantime, are we going to be diligent? I hope it can be said of Vision Baptist Church one day when you and I, as members of Vision Baptist Church, when we step into the presence of the Lord, I hope it would be said, Vision Baptist Church was a group of folks that kept on, they were diligent, they didn't quit, they just wouldn't give up. Let's not give up, amen? I prayed, somebody said, and God didn't answer. Well, pray twice as hard, twice as long if you need to. God's going to answer. I tried to reach somebody and nobody got saved. Well, keep on trying. Somebody's going to get saved. I invited somebody to church and they didn't come. Well, invite somebody else and they'll come. Folks, that's why God put us here. Now, you know, we have good fellowship as a church, and we're going to have For example, tomorrow night, a fun activity and some great times. And that's part of being Christians, is to have each other to lean upon. But God put us here with a task, and He expects us to be diligent in that task. And folks, I have, and it doesn't matter what I have, but I hope all of us can say we have enough faith in this book to believe God keeps His promises. So we're not going to give up, amen? We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on telling folks. When we get knocked down, we're going to get back up and keep on going. Let it be said of Vision Baptist Church that we are a church that can be trusted with the task, and we are a church that will be diligent to keep on until that task is accomplished. Let's see what else we can see here, if you would. Let's keep on going. Chapter 9, and in verse 5, he says, at the end of the verse, he says, "Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us." And I see a little something there. There was a relationship between Saul and his father that was a unique relationship, and it was a strong relationship. And by the way, the Bible endorses his father earlier in the passage in verse 1 by calling him a mighty man of power. Folks, we have a heavenly Father who has great power. And as he gave us that task, and as we are diligent in that task, let's say a third thing about our church. Let's not lose our relationship and our care and our thought for the guidance and the working of our Father. In other words, once again, the idea would be this, that we have a Father in heaven, and He is the one we serve. Ultimately, if I can say it this way, this might make more sense to you, it is not the task that is the issue. The issue is we serve our Father in heaven. Amen? And as long as we're serving Him and we're doing what He wants us to do, He's the one that promised the results. He's the one who's responsible for the accomplishment. Our job is just simply to maintain our walk with Him and keep on going. You know, one of the things that's happened in churches, I've seen this happen even in good churches, is they get so involved in the task that they lose sight of God. You read the churches of the Revelation, there are a couple of them like that. They're busy. Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, has some good commendation, but the Bible says that they'd left their first love. If our church does not maintain the right relationship with God, nothing else really matters. Now, once again, I speak to you as a church, cumulative, but each one of us needs to maintain a relationship with God. I, as the pastor, can only do so much. I can preach the Bible to you when you assemble here. I can teach you what the Word of God says, try and lead you in that way. But each of us need to maintain a walk with God. Saul didn't forget about his father. He said, you know, my father is really more important than the task at hand. I need to make sure that I keep him apprised of what's happening to me and that I keep my relationship with him strong. Let's look at one more thing. We've got just enough time. Look at verse 6. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. I'm going to stretch this just a little bit, but let me show you one more thing that we need to do in our church. We need to stick to the task. We need to be diligent, not to give up, even when we fail. We need to maintain a relationship with our Father. But we need to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that can show us what to do. You know, there are some things we could do in our church. There are all sorts of ministries we could undertake. And from time to time, someone will say, well, why don't we have this ministry? Or why don't we have that ministry? And I like having ministries to people. That's why we're here, is to minister to folks. But we have to find out what God wants us to do. Amen? And I know, for example, right now we're praying, God, would you give us the resources, meaning the people, so that we could have a bus route, so that we could run that bus, not just on Sunday nights, but on Sunday mornings. And folks, I have no doubt in my mind, if we could run that bus on Sunday mornings, and if we would visit on Saturday mornings in consequence to that, we could bring many folks, children and adults, in from our surrounding area to this church on Sunday mornings. And maybe not just one bus, maybe someday two buses, maybe someday three buses. But even if just one soul got saved, it'd be worth it. Amen? Amen. If one child grew in the Lord and was called into the ministry, that the man that refurbished our bus for us, his prayer was, God, use this bus to bring some young man in that God would call into the ministry. Hadn't been fulfilled yet, but God could do that, couldn't he? We need the Lord Jesus Christ leading, and I think he's leading us in that way. And I'd ask you to pray with me and to pray as a church, God, give us those things that we need. What is the heart of our church? We look at Saul, and he's got a good heart. He's off on a good start, and there are some things we'll learn about him later that aren't quite so refreshing. God did not give Israel a king that would fail them. Now listen to me. If Saul would have obeyed God, if Saul would have obeyed God, you'll see it here in two or three chapters, he could have stayed king of Israel. It was his disobedience, his presumption, and we'll see it all very plainly in the passages to come, that cost him his office as king. Folks, if our church will stay obedient to God, he will keep our candlestick in place. He will keep us as a church and use us. He's told us, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to be dedicated to that task. We need to be trustworthy enough that we can do that. We need to be diligent to keep on doing it. And we need to remember our relationship with the Father and leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a church, I'm asking you, as your pastor, please obey the Lord so that we can keep on doing the work God's called us to do. Saul's failure was unnecessary. It was his disobedience that cost him his throne. And folks, if we will obey God and his command for this church, I guarantee you he'll do great things. Close with this thought. About a year ago, a little over a year ago, I preached a message out of Kings. And just the gist of the message was that the people had gone out to battle and they ran out of water. And God told them, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to dig trenches. It's going to rain. Well, it didn't rain. You're going to dig trenches, he said, and the trenches are going to get filled up with water. And the people obeyed God, and they dug trenches. They couldn't see why, but they did what God told them to do, and they dug trenches. They didn't see any reason to think that would be successful or the answer to their problem, but they did what God told them to do. And in that night, the trenches were filled with water, meeting their needs. But then the next day, when the enemy looked on the trenches, the sun shone on them in such a way that it looked like it was blood. And it was a method that God used to give Israel victory over the enemy. None of it made a lot of sense to the people. But folks, when God tells us to do something, it doesn't really matter if it makes sense to us or not. Let's just do it. Now, a year has gone by, and I wonder how many trenches we've dug in the last year. And let me translate that into a more meaningful thought. How many people have we shown the Word of God? How many people have we invited to church? How many people have we witnessed to in the last year? I know some of us have been very faithful to do that. What if we all did that? What if everybody in this church fell into that category of being trustworthy with the task God gave us and diligent to stick with it until we see God bless, trusting God the Father for our strength and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for our guidance? What if we all did that? I think the general assumption is God would bless greatly, don't you? Amen. We look at Saul and we judge this man and we say, he failed. Here's a man that had great opportunity. He could have been the king for his entire life, but instead he failed and God had to cause him to be defeated in battle and he should have obeyed God. And we look at other people in the Bible and say, they should have obeyed God. Folks, we ought to obey God, amen? I'll close with this thought. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. He obeyed his Father and suffered death on the cross so that you and I could be saved. I'm glad he obeyed because he bought eternal life. He paid the price for my sins and gave me eternal life. And now he comes to you and I as born-again Christians, as Vision Baptist Church, and he says to us, I want you to go. Even as he says, so send I you. Even as I was sent, so send I you. We need to go, amen? It's easy to say somebody else will go. It's easy to say somebody else will do the work. But folks, God called us as a church to do the work. And if we don't obey that call, we're not any better than King Saul. And we shouldn't expect much of a different result. I would ask you this morning to prayerfully find God's will for your role and your life in this church and pursue that with all your strength. I think God will do great things with us if we'll obey him. And then one last thought, and that is this. None of that even applies until you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I know most folks here today, but not all. And if you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the starting place. Amen? He died on the cross to pay for your sins. And the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I hope you've received him. Let's stand and pray.